Welcome to Steps to Value. Hi, I'm Rod Pihowsky, Senior Director, Health Information Systems at HIMSS. This episode touches on a number of topics, but it centers around leadership's role in change management and how important that is in accomplishing your goals. A real leader understands that everyone has something to gain in an effective organization-wide change management process. And as our guest on this podcast notes, it's all about creating a vivid picture of the end state. Our guest on this episode is Vice Admiral Raquel C. Bono, Director, Defense Health Agency. And we sat down at the HIMSS Global Conference earlier to discuss change, ownership, interoperability, and ensuring that patients are treated as people. All that and more coming up. Vice Admiral Raquel C. Bono is Director of the Defense Health Agency. Admiral Bono, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you.
May I call you Raquel?
Yes. You can even call me Rocky if you'd
Rocky?
Like.
Rocky? Oh, sure. I can do that. All right. Well, Rocky, how has your leadership leading clinical teams through surgery influenced your leadership of teams through organizational changes, whether it's technical or cultural? Could you address some of that? Change management is such a big issue. How have you addressed that?
I think that's a great question. I think that leadership is really all about change, and that what the responsibility, the need for leadership is, how do you make that change happen? And early on, as a surgeon, I'm in the operating room and I'm working with a team. And even though everybody in the room is not necessarily technically working for me, we're all working for the same end goal. And that's really informed how I see my responsibility as a leader, is how do I create the right kind of environment for everyone to adopt and embrace a common goal, and then create synergy in our efforts to pull in the same direction to accomplish that goal. And I think that's so important. And there's no one person or department that can do this on their own anymore with any kind of change management.
So sharing the strategy is a key component of people understanding what you're trying to achieve, and then the incremental steps make more sense to them?
Exactly. You know, it's the strategy that's so important in describing it. I think in describing that strategy, though, it's being able to paint the picture so the audience, the individual, the groups can actually see themselves in that strategy. And part of their ability to see themselves in that strategy is also being able to create a very vivid picture of what that end state would look like, and how they actually help draw and craft that end state.
And we always called that buy-in, right?
Yes. I think it's buy-in. I think it's part of the ownership development that we try to create.
Your choice of the word ownership is really important, because that's the question of what's in it for me.
Right.
And we're all driven by that.
Yes, of course. Exactly.
Well, you have a very interesting patient population. You span the globe and lots of different healthcare needs. So how does interoperability and the current state of that impact what you're trying to accomplish?
Interoperability is so critical. We have patients that not only span the globe, but they receive their care in a variety of venues. They receive their care in military treatment facilities, what we call MTFs. But a good portion of their care is also received in the civilian and private sector, in our networks of care that we have with civilian providers, either individual providers or organizations like hospitals and clinics. And so interoperability really helps us, or being able to achieve that interoperability will make sure that we have the longitudinal documentation of their care. You know, I started out thinking about interoperability in just terms of how well can DOD communicate with the Department of the Veterans Affairs. And I realized it is so much more than that. It's how do we capture an episode of care and the longitudinal aspect of that care for each of our patients. And then if I could just go out on another limb about interoperability, because I'm very appreciative of the multiple dimensions of interoperability. It's within my own hospitals that I oversee, how well have we created the interoperability between our medical devices? And a great example is in the ICU, where you see at least 10 medical devices in there, and many times those devices don't talk to each other. I think that's another aspect or a parameter of interoperability that I'm very interested in figuring out what would be the best way to address that.
Let's talk about patient engagement in your environment. This is an issue that in the private sector, we talk about this all the time. How do we engage people to participate and to view themselves differently in this new ecosystem? How are you approaching that? And does it involve technology, or is this, again, another change management issue? Or both?
I think it's both, actually. I think what you're describing is commonly referred to as patient activation. But I think it's also a part of the larger discussion about patient data and who owns patient data. In my mind, it is the patient. It's their data, what we know about them in terms of the metrics that we've collected. And I think that part of that patient activation would involve helping a patient understand what their data says about them and how they might want to be able to impact or decide on what they need to do about their health. I think that that's an important part of getting patient engagement, is empowering them to have access to their data, understand what the data says about them, and then allows them to respond to what the data are telling them.
Well, now you're touching on something that's really interesting, too. People, of course, aren't data. Mm-hmm. Right? And we have to think of them as people. And I know that there's an important concept of seeing the holistic view, the life story of a person that happens to be a patient.
Right.
And what are we learning from data that helps us attack, I guess, that people component?
I think that's actually the real driver for how we can change healthcare and the delivery of health services. So I think that while data are very important to make sure that we're being effective and that we're giving the right kind of care and that we're having the right kind of outcomes, I think one of the areas that has me very fascinated in is how well are we bringing the patients into the picture and truly understanding what value is to them, how they define value. And sometimes as a clinician or as a healthcare system, we're concentrating on what the outcomes are or how fast they get out of the hospital, which is not a bad thing, but for some of our patients, it might not be about the fact that they're having a surgical procedure. It's what they can do once they have that surgical procedure. And so data are helpful, but it has to be married up with the patient and what their value system is telling us about them.
And I would characterize that as patient satisfaction.
Yes.
Do you have any examples of how data has helped improve patient satisfaction?
Yes, I think that we have a tremendous amount of data out there. I think it's our willingness to respond to it and actually change how we deliver healthcare, how we change our systems to meet that data. So certainly we know that in terms of our patients, being able to respond to their need to have their prescriptions delivered in a very timely fashion, and just being aware of what that's like for our patients to have to wait in a pharmacy to get their medications is an important piece of how we could design our system to be more responsive to that. Another example in the military health system is how well our patients are gaining access to their care and being able to make decisions on how we design our system so it can be responsive to that access has been extremely helpful.
And there are a lot of challenges there as far as how do humans interact with technology.
Yes.
Getting the information in can be painful with the current state of our interfaces, but that's the way it's developed over the years.
Yes.
And I think we're starting to see now a great opportunity to look at that in a different way and try to expand our horizons.
Yes. Well, I think when you talk about expanding horizons, I like to think of that as redesigning ourselves.
And the systems that serve us.
Exactly. How would we reimagine that? And what would we need to look like in order to be more responsive to some of these patient indicators and to our data?
Well, would you mind if we turned the topic to you?
Okay. Of course not. I don't mind at all.
How did you get into health IT? What's your story?
I had to think about that. There's not a sentinel event that kind of triggered it. I will tell you that part of my propensity is that I love all things technological. I've always been very fascinated with the digital interface and how that made me either more effective or more efficient or allowed me to remember things a little bit better. So I've always been very fascinated with that. And then as I noticed a lot of the changes that were coming with healthcare and health IT, it became kind of a natural pursuit of mine. And now as I'm looking at our patients and where they're distributed and the very footprint of the military health system, it is so diverse, it is so spread out, it is so global. The only way we can stay connected and make sure that we're delivering the type of care that we want to deliver, and in order to make sure that we're giving the comprehensive care that we want to deliver, we have to rely on the new and emerging technology that allows us to do that. And so health IT has become not merely an interest or not necessarily a part of my portfolio. It is intrinsic to how we deliver healthcare.
So it evolved into your world.
Yes. Yes.
For lack of a better.
Exactly.
Unless you can come up with a better way of
I think
it.
It's an integral part of how we all live our day to day.
Right. We resist change to some degree, mm-hmm. but I think there's a tipping point where you realize that technology really does have something to offer.
Exactly.
And,
yeah.
And we see the benefits. One thing I'm curious about is how your perspective on this technology environment in healthcare, how that has changed for women. You have a different perspective on this based on your experience in the military. Could you share a little bit of thinking on that?
Yes. First off, you know my background is as a surgeon. So just by virtue of my professional career and by virtue of my being a surgeon within the military, I have naturally been in at least two of the arenas where it is predominantly male. And so being in the minority group as a female, it was interesting that during that development, I never really saw myself as being an outlier in that. It was just part of what I believed I was capable and ready to do. And being able to work with others who also felt that this was not unusual. Part of my background, though, was that, you know, I had a very supportive family that did not see this as unusual. As I'm getting into and more involved and I'm becoming part of the senior leadership for healthcare and now health IT, I recognize that diversity is so important, but I don't think diversity is strictly along gender lines. Diversity is about perspective and how well you can bring in as many different perspectives as possible. So the more we can increase representation of the different perspectives, the richer and more creative and innovative our solution sets are going to become.
I like that answer.
Thank you.
I also want to talk to you about mentoring. Did you have a mentor, and who was it, and what was the most important lesson that your mentor shared with you?
Yeah. Mentors are so important, and I have been very blessed to have a number of mentors. My very first mentor and the very first feminist I met was my dad. And my dad, from a very early age, shared with me that he felt that I could do whatever I set my mind to. And I grew up with that. And much to my brother's dismay, because that oftentimes emboldened me to go forward on things that they normally would not have let me pursue. But my dad was an extremely important mentor. And I have had mentors, both male and female, that have really helped me develop in terms of understanding how I can pursue things and how I can improve upon the skill sets that I have and that I need to help make change happen. I think that mentoring, as now as a mentor, though, is more than being able to be available. What I'm realizing now as a mentor is that it's more than being a role model. It's actively participating in your mentee's situation or interests, and then being able to offer them something of value that's actionable.
So in that situation with you as a mentor, what do you hope to instill in your mentees?
I always like to let my mentees know that by virtue of the fact that we're even having this conversation tells me when they're coming to ask what I think on something or what advice I might be able to give them, or just they just need a sounding board. The fact that they have that awareness to seek somebody else's opinion or to seek that opportunity to share their thoughts tells me that they have critical attributes that will allow them to be successful down the road. In my mentoring with my mentees, I want them to understand, walking away from that episode, is that they have somebody who believes in them, that who knows that they're going to make a difference. And by being able to share that with people I mentor, oftentimes helps them get over that last piece of reticence or doubt that they might have. And I think that's an important part of mentoring, is being able to instill confidence in people to let them know that you believe in their ability to do something.
That's hugely important.
I think so.
We have one more question for you. It's kind of a fun question here.
Okay.
So your answer does not have to come from the field of healthcare or information technology in healthcare. What's your favorite technology and what impact do you think it's had on culture?
My favorite technology? Well, I don't want to get in trouble with any kind of particular vendor or commercial product, but I think the electronic devices, the tablets and the smartphones, has been an incredible game changer for me personally and professionally. I naturally like to do multiple things at once. I know it's probably not everybody's favorite activity to be a multitasker. Certainly, I don't think my staff appreciate that I like to multitask because it does keep them busy. But those devices I described have been incredible in being able to maintain an ability to be connected with information, be connected with my family, be connected with what's going on in my environment, and has allowed me to be more responsive to what's going on.
It keeps progress flowing.
Yes, absolutely.
Even if you're not literally doing two things at once, you can step aside for a minute, follow up on an email or a text, and that person can then continue. And I think that's a really nice answer.
Thank you.
Well, Vice Admiral Raquel Rocky Bono is Director of Defense Health Agency. And thank you so much for taking the time here at HIMSS 18 to sit down and talk to us. It's been an absolute pleasure.
Well, thank you very much. This has been a lot of fun.
Thank you.
Thanks.
We hear it all the time. Leadership in the age of rapidly evolving technology requires quick thinking and adaptability. But without an endpoint in mind, it's easy to get stuck fixing the endless supply of daily issues that inevitably pop up. So we have to learn to think big picture and learn how to share that vision with those we lead. It's a long journey, but each step takes us closer. Thanks again to our guest, Vice Admiral Bono, for sharing her valuable time and insights about leadership, technology, mentorship, and vision. Also, thanks to our staff for making Steps to Value happen. Adam Baser is my co-producer, and Kelly Lippitt is the show's guest relations manager. Steps to Value is a copyrighted production of HIMSS. HIMSS is a global voice, advisor, and thought leader of health transformation through health information and technology. With a unique breadth and depth of expertise and capabilities to improve the quality, safety, and efficiency of health, healthcare, and care outcomes. HIMSS designs and leverages key data assets, predictive models, and tools to advise global leaders, stakeholders, and influencers of best practices in health information and technology so they have the right information at the point of decision. HIMSS drives innovative forward thinking around best uses of information and technology in support of better connected care, improved population health, and low cost of care. I'm Rod Pihowski. See you next time on Steps to Value.